yinto ne SBS Dinka.
Today we are going to have a very important guest, being Dr. Isaac Quithgang.
Dr. Isaac Gang is an associate professor in the College of Engineering and Computing, MS Data Analytics Program at George Mason University, and is someone with incredible academic achievements, which are Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, and a PhD in Computational Science at University of Southern Mississippi.
He has incredible and a lot of experience in this area. He's someone with a lot of expertise in analytical data and also software as well. Today we are here with him because recently you have seen the trend going online about the recent inclusion of Nuer and Dinka as a part of translatable language on Google. And today we are blessed to have him with us on our program, Dr. Isaac Quithgang. Welcome to SBS Dinka Radio.
Thank you so much, Agustina. It's my pleasure to be here. I heard about your program for quite a while now, and I have some really positive regards about the program. So it's a pleasure to be here for the first time.
Dr. Isaac, given noble idea, can you share with us background story on how you started this incredible idea of having Nuer and Dinka included in the Google translatable language?
Yes, absolutely. The project started back in 2019, but the idea to have the language included started back probably in 2009 or 2010. That's when I just graduated from college, and then I experimented with languages for the first time. I was able to successfully include Nuer language in the Apple software. And so that kind of piqued my interest for our languages going forward. So when I do research that relates to computer science, image processing, or other concepts in computational science, I was always looking for a way to incorporate language in that research. But with the advances of machine learning and AI, that effort became a bit rigorous because technology improves, and so did the techniques to include languages, particularly with the use of something called natural language processing. So in short, we had a conversation with one of the church leaders. His name is Moses Doyak. Back in 2019, he was also interested in language, and that's how this project started.
The complex nature of this project, what motivated you to ensure this unique nature of the project that has seen a track and captured significant public interest, which will certainly make language development and translation in these two languages a lot easier? What motivates you?
Short answer is culture. Culture is something that I've always admired. Coming from South Sudan, the different cultures really stand out in the African cultures. And so when you want to contribute to that perspective of our society, I thought language was the ideal choice to pursue. I know we have many different languages. We don't speak one language, and the country actually uses English as the official language, but all of our languages are actually official in their own right. And so when I had this opportunity, not only did I look in the Nuer language as the test tool or item for the project, but once we complete the work, especially collecting data, I was also able to compare the similarities between the Nuer language and other languages, particularly Dinka and Acholi and Bari. So when I discovered these similarities, even though we did a lot of work initially in the Nuer language, it was very easy to transfer this accomplishments to this language, then make it possible for all three languages to come out in this round of Google release of languages. We were hoping that Bari would make fourth language, but we managed to release, include Dinka, Nuer, and Acholi in this round, and we hope to include more languages in the future.
The complex technological aspect of it involved, how easy was it for you, given that no one has already got some data on this issue and no one has a starting point, but given that you started from scratch, how easy was it for you to build the project from scratch?
It was difficult. Our team was well equipped to successfully complete this project. We have a technical team, we have language expertise on the team. We also have management team. So we have sub teams, three in totality. Initially, we were were so concerned about successfully completing this project because of exactly what you say, the difficulties of accomplishing it. But we feel that if we get started, somebody along the way, that's how unsure we were initially, we'll complete it, perhaps our children. That's our initial thought process. But again, with a bit of research, we continue to gain confidence. And I think at some point, we felt that we could actually complete the project within 3 years. But we are all volunteers, and we all have full-time jobs, sometimes more than one. And so the time frame that we expected or that we anticipated did not work out quite well. So we ended up taking 5 years to get this thing done. But to answer your question, it was difficult. But as the technology matures and advances were being discovered, I think it became clear that we could actually do it and not wait until children come along to complete it for us. We were very excited when we made the discovery. But the biggest thing about this, as you may have expected, is the data. Because as we know, if you have two language, this being the source language and this one being the destination language, you need to have similar number of words to successfully make the translation. So this is to say that if we have 1 million words, just for the sake of example, we have to have an equivalent number, say, another million in the source, in the destination language to make the translation possible. And all this information needs to be online. So that's the bulk of our work. To make sure that all the data were online. The simple trick that we discovered later was to write a simple program because we realized that a lot of our languages actually have contents online. So we build a database that collects the data, and then we continue to translate sentence by sentence. You can imagine how tedious that was. It took a lot of time to complete, to even get 1,000 words. And so even though we recruit people to do that, it was difficult. But we came up with the idea to write a web scraping program. That is a computer program that goes online and just collect every single word in a given language to decide how much content is available to make this translation possible. I think this was the breakthrough for us that made it possible.
It's complicated for someone who have no background in computer science, and in your case, you are well placed with the knowledge that it requires to be able to build this. Who have you partnered with to deliver this project? I understand you started 5 years ago, and it has, in a way, involved a lot of people working behind the scene to deliver this. Who in particular have you involved in this?
That's a very good question. We have total of 16 individuals. Initially, as I said, the goal was to work on the new language. We wanted to make it bigger to include all the languages, but we realized that recruiting people and making the team bigger, perhaps, twice or three times much would make it very, very complicated to manage. And so, I think the good break for us came when we knew that we can duplicate the progress that we made in Nuer and translate it to other languages without having to get a lot of expertise and use technology just to duplicate what we have done to other languages, especially those languages that have similarities with Nuer. And so that's how, we look at the languages. We wrote simple programs to just do simple comparisons. How similar are these languages? And as you may know, Nuer, Bari, and Sholi, and Dinka have a lot of similarities. So that's the reason why we conclude that all these four languages should be included in the translation. Again, we have some limited assistance on these languages, Nadinka and Acholi. We do reach out to friends and people that are experts in these languages, but these individuals were not officially part of the team, but they did contribute in directing and answering simple questions with respect to the language.
Well, given the limitation that you have in place at the time when you start this project, I presume it would have not been easy for you to do this. But given determination and the skill set that you already have, then it has helped you do this. I actually work as an interpreter and translator. I'm a certified.
Oh.
That's my...
We could have come to you if we knew that.
Here in Australia as an interpreter and translator, and I have the certification in Dinka, really. And when I look at this being launched online and that it was active, I actually went there to test it myself.
Was it? Just out of curiosity, was it good?
Well, I'm coming to that. And so I sort of test simple word, and one major error of translation accuracy was knowledge, which is God.
Yeah.
And in the Dinka translation of it, it say Jong Raj, which is Satan, by the way. And then I went further to find out if there is a equivalent to word to that, and then divine is actually translated as God in the translation aspect of it. And so
those are the kind of corrections we're going to need to make use of.
Then I went further to find out whether there was actually a way that this could have come from the translation of saying gods, which are our local gods, and that actually
yes.
come to the translation of saying that is Nyalish now, that is God.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yep. And I say, okay, this is interesting. And so in that case, yeah, do you think there's a room to improve? I would give it the accuracy label is good. I would give it 60%.
That's good. That's really good.
And I think 40% of work need to be put into
okay.
this, because I know always there is an improvement in every aspect of things. So what do you think the community need to know about this project, the Dinka and speaking community, and actually, and what can
yes,
they do?
A lot. First of all, I think testing the language, as you've done, is the best thing that somebody can do for this project. Because as you may know, when you write a computer product, there's something called the beta. And beta is, there's something called alpha, which is the first version of the product. And then you would have all the versions that come up after that. And the product that you use, software product always have different copies or different versions. This actually describes improvement. The first version usually is a test bed for people to see, to test and see how things are. I actually think that 60% is a very high number. I wasn't expecting that, especially for the Dinka. And surely given that we did not have experts in this area, we purely use technology and very minimal help from friends to kind of help us look at some of the keywords. But overall, 60% can easily go to 80% if in the second version of the app, the second version will definitely use feedbacks, suggestions, data that come from testers to see how much we can improve. I can assure you, the second copy of the product will be much better. And this is basically based on feedback that we get from people. We're collecting those, and somebody like you that is an expert in the language will definitely continue to play a key role in making sure that these improvements are accurate and that they are included in the second copy, second release of the product. And we continue to improve. It's not going to be 100%, but we're going to get as close as we can to it.
With this project, it's actually one of the innovative kind of idea for our country, young nation, and having people of your caliber, people of your brain is actually very helpful in this, and it's a resource that we have. And that's what I always say, instead of using our language as a different, we can actually innovate ourselves, challenge ourselves, and you certainly have challenged the community with this project in itself. What do you think? Do you think a government like South Sudan government would be someone that can also play a role in this, in providing some plan to make the improvement of this? I know most of would have been bluntly at your end there. What resources did you have in place to make this project happen?
I say this at the beginning, we did not have any resources. A lot of what we did was out of pocket. We are all volunteers, and that's the reason why it took a long time. I think if we have resources available, we could actually hire more people, perhaps programmers that can help us speed up the project. But certainly on your question about what the government can do, the government can play a very critical role. First of all, it can support the project, and this will allow us to include all the languages that could possibly included that have sufficient contents online, and this will definitely improve the accuracy of the languages that are currently on the trend, on Google Translate. So in short, I think this could be a long-term project that the government can be partner in and also help funding so as to promote our languages. Obviously, culture is a critical part of a country, and the more you invest in the culture, particularly the language, the better the society will become, and certainly the more connected we become. Right now, I can go online if I'm curious about a language, particular language, particular word in Dinka or Chola Bari or Chola. I can just go and go, go to the Google Translate and just test a few words like, hello, you can have this in all the language. How are you? Can I get some water? Something simple like that. And so, when someone will speak three or four languages, to some degree, just by practicing in the app. And so just imagine how much societal cohesion it would bring. Obviously, with all this happening in our country, society are impacted. And so something like this can really bring us started together.
Certainly, our country is politically in trouble in the term of how our leaders are politically divided and neglecting the important part of social cohesion of the community, like promoting social harmony within the community by creating initiative of this nature to be able to bring people together with similar minds, similar idea and expertise as well to be able to develop the nation. Obviously, in South Sudan, in my opinion, is that the expert analysis, the expertise are not valued. Otherwise, if the role of expertise and the independence of each institution is valued, then we would have flourished in many different ways. How do you think our political leaders would contribute into the language and educational development of this nation?
They can a great deal, because leaders are people that have a larger platforms. And I think the biggest mistake we make is to assume also that the leaders are responsible for everything and all things. If as a citizen you have a role to play that can contribute to the well-being of a country, it's very important that you play that role. And I think as you see now in our country, people are very happy. And when the leaders see this excitement, they see this enthusiasm from the citizens, you know, that they will be forced to take action, whether to policy that promote languages, policy that promote cultural interaction, and certainly policy that promote social cohesion will come as the result of this kind of things happening. When they see, so, you know, our citizen reacting to this thing positively and seeing how much they rally all together around a project like this, it will encourage them to do more. And so, by simply being proactive and doing something positive when you think you can do it based on your professional background, that will contribute to the decision-making capability of our leaders. And I think that's something that we all need to think about.
The excitement this project have given the two or the three communities that have the privilege of having their language being included in the Google Translatable Language, what sort of feeling are you getting? How excited is it? What do you think the community reaction is in your own feeling? How does it make you feel? Because many that I have spoken to have been very proud of you on the initiative that you have initiated and the initiative that you have delivered. But then what does that make you feel as an individual with innovative idea?
I'm overjoyed. I think the other word I would use that I am overwhelmed. With excitement. I think when this project started, there was no expectation for me to be recognized. You know, I just want to be able to contribute my expertise and in some sense, contribute something positive using my profession to the society. The same goes for my team, those individuals that have the same skills, especially on the technical team, Tango, Mahmoud, Torput, all contributed to the success of this language. And we never talk about what it would be like when we release it. I think all we thought about is, can we do it? The funny part about this is that when it came out, we were not expecting it. I think Google actually surprised us. They didn't give us the timeline. They think they told us that this could come out at some point, but they just released it. And when we learned about the 110 languages, with three of those languages being from our country, once we look at it, we were shocked. I initially was speechless. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I was getting phone calls. I was getting emails. And certainly I was getting a lot of tag on social media. So it was an overwhelming joy. And I think a very good joy that I certainly didn't expect it. But I really appreciate it. And the whole team did. I think we're getting a lot of calls, to answer some questions, to talk to people. And it's exciting. You know, that's a sign that something good has happened and that one has to be happy that they're part of it.
We are coming to the end of this conversation. And my understanding is that this is the beginning of a project that has started and there is more to be done. So what can you tell the community about their involvement and what they can do to help you in the process of making a second part of this project a success?
Well, two messages. One is very simple one, and I think a lot of people will understand this. That is that good habits are practiced. Feel that you have something positive within your reach. Do not hesitate to do it. There will be people who would be concerned about the consequences, what people will say, but there's never a right time to do the right thing. Every time is the right time to do something positive. And so from our experience with this, we could say to our people that wherever you are, whatever profession you are, if you can do something for the society, for our country, please do not spare any effort in doing that because it will pay a dividend. We're speaking from experience now. The second to that is this: if you feel that someone would have second thoughts about what you're doing, you know that is the right thing. Don't have a second thought on yourself. Just go ahead and do it because it is the right thing to do. Being able to include these languages, even though they were not part of our initial plans, was the absolute right thing to do. And I think our people have actually proven us right that this is a good thing to do for us, and we'll continue to improve on those. So finally, I think the languages need some work. You are a testament to that. And the only way we'll know that this language needs some work is that you play around with them, you test them, you take note of the errors, you share those errors. We use those as our secondary data. And then once we collect enough data, we'll give this data to Google so they can retrain the model, meaning that they will train the model again so that it can learn from the new data. And so the second release will certainly be much better than the first, and so will the third, and so forth and so on. So I think the more they play with the app, the more they test it, and the more they reach out to us, the better improvement we can have. And certainly, I want all of our professional language folks, language expert like yourself, to also be in touch with us, give us suggestions, give us pointers to improve data set and the subsequent release of the product. We really appreciate that.
It has been a pleasure talking to you and learning from your experience and your expertise as well. As we are about to finish, given you have four languages to start with, do you think there is a possibility of adding on more projects if the resources are available?
Absolutely. I mean, this is our first thought. When these three languages came out and the fourth one did not, we thought immediately that we're going to work on including it. And then we're also going to work on writing additional framework to go and look for all the data on all the languages. And so once we get the result, we'll determine how much data, how much content is available on a particular language. And this will determine whether we can pursue adding it or not. A lot of languages are really online. And so the experts on these languages need to work more to include contents online. I think this content being available online will make it easier for any language to be included. But there has to be sufficient content to almost go one to one with English for the translation to be possible.
When you say online, the content, do you mean the written aspect of the content or the audio aspect of it? What do you mean by that?
Most of the written content audio are sufficient, but things like Bible, hymnals, websites that are speaking about a particular language are all considered to be content. With the advances in machine learning and AI, even the Bible can be scraped. You can actually take the Bible, if you find online, and actually use it as a basis for translation. That's the reason why we were successful in New and English, because they have those books online. It makes it easier for us to find sufficient data and utilize those data in the translation.
Dr. Isaac Kuth Gang, thank you very much for sharing this with us today on SBS Dinka Radio. And I believe there is always a hope when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, and having received this kind of overjoyed society that has come to your support. Like, you have done an amazing work to reach this far, and I believe that didn't come with no community first in your mind, and you have thought of it in a deep way and involving the team of experts to be able to deliver this. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Augustine. I really appreciate this opportunity. Take care.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time and your contribution to the language development. As you have heard in our introduction before, Dr. Isaac Gang is an associate professor in the College of Engineering and Computing, MS Data Analytics Program at George Mason University. He has wealth of experience and detailed knowledge of computing, and is someone with incredible academic achievements, which are Bachelor of Science, Master of Science, and a PhD in Computational Science at University of Southern Mississippi.
Korba pina ko kul tung keni ya wilka. Piang ne Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, katilubini ya wilka yuk.